the unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth, the seldom met with, even 100,000 myriad colors. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I have vowed to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amisa the Buddha, Amisa the Dharma, Amisa the Sangha. When we're born into this world, our welfare is entrusted to our parents and to other adults in our family and community. Human beings have the longest development to full adulthood of any animal on this planet. It takes a lot of education in the broadest sense of the word, for human beings to be able to survive in this world. Even very little children are, when we're born into this world, that's certainly a kind of beginning, quite a dramatic beginning, followed by a trajectory of years of education, preparation for adult life. There's a much more profound spiritual beginning that can happen during our life. And at the deepest level, this happens when all the past karma has been cleansed and converted, if indeed that happens in this lifetime. But if it does happen in this lifetime, what then takes place is what is described in How to Grow Lotus Blossom as the appearance of the child of the Lord. So I want to talk for a moment about the meaning of this term, the child of the Lord. So a little baby comes into this world needing to acquire many skills, needing the guidance of more mature beings in order to even survive. In that sense, as I said, the welfare of that little being is entrusted to the parents and other more mature beings who will be helping to care for and educate that little baby as it matures. That is the child of human parents, the child of the world. But now we've begun to talk about the child of the eternal, the child of the Lord. So who is that little child going to be learning from? And to whom has that child's welfare been entrusted? Well, it's right there in the term, the child of the Lord. We're talking here about the point at which a being has transcended the powerful influence of the past and is now ready to be taught directly by the eternal. Therefore, implied in this term is that a person has reached the state where that person can truly ask of the eternal and hear the response of the eternal and is now capable of really following that response. Because a whole lot of accumulated pain and confusion is not always getting in the way and always throwing one off track. That's why our master says of this, that this is the deepest spiritual experience that a person can have in this lifetime. That's why she says that her experience of this in her third Kensho in 1976 and 1977 was the greatest experience of her life. Do not think, however, that Reverend Master, the Buddha, or anyone else ever got to the point where their past karma could not at least potentially act upon them. The seeds of the old karma are not difficult to reactivate. And having had such an experience, having done all the spiritual work that led up to that experience and made it possible, does not mean that one is no longer capable of error. But if we think for a moment, we can see how whenever we go through that process of Sangha that I was describing in yesterday's talk, whenever we go through any little bit of it, and whenever we experience that washing away of obstacles, of hardness, of stubbornness, of fear that accompanies this process of spiritual washing. And as we come out of this process, or any little part of it, more spiritually naked, more spiritually clean, less clinging to externals, and more relying upon the eternal. Whenever this happens, there is a little manifestation of what is meant by the child of the Lord, and we have turned a little bit more of our body and mind over to the eternal to be taught and educated by the eternal. And without many such seemingly little daily life revolutions of the wheel of the law, the wheel of the Dharma, we can never come to those great experiences, those great spiritual rebirths. So we must not think that that term, the child of the Lord, applies only to one person, one situation, and one time, or to special people in special situations and special times. In the ordination ceremony, the master says to the disciple, "The merit of first mind is the widest and most completely fathomless." First mind, beginner's mind, that place of simple faith, simple humility, simple willingness. That is what we keep returning to through each revolution of the wheel of the Dharma, each revolution of suffering, that is experiencing karma coming due, spiritual washing, doing sangha, reaffirming the teaching of the precepts, the commitment to the precepts, experiencing the gratitude that flows naturally, the love of the eternal that flows naturally in this process of spiritual cleansing and conversion. Each time we go through this revolution of the wheel, that child of the Lord is there, and it is what we really are.
Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.